go back to where fall. It's funny, Ryan's about to make this announcement. Weston, you took your mask off. So we actually have to go back to wearing masks during the whole service. So we're just following the state and city guidelines. And so the state was saying a couple weeks ago, they're saying as long as you were staying distance, you could take them off. Now they're kind of going back with recent cases. So we're just following that. We're never going to be kind of going rogue and just doing our own calls. We're kind of following that. And the city's been gracious enough to keep reissuing permits, so we're all good there. A couple quick announcements. First of all is we are have partnered with an orphanage in Mexico. We've talked about that. There are 28 kids there that we are really excited to be bringing Christmas presents to, and we only have 7 left. So if you are interested in that, which is awesome, we've had 21 already, you just grab one of those bags, and there's your kid's name, a picture of them. And then we're saying it's a $30 to $50 spending limit on that. And the reason we're doing that is because they said they really need shoes. The director was saying they're all wearing through their shoes. So we're saying for each kid, it's basically you can get a pair of shoes and then with any money left over, a toy or something like that. So definitely consider that. And that's a great way that even if you're not comfortable, you know, being a part of this trip, you can still support. And, it's so fun is that we will actually be there delivering your gift to your kid. They cannot be wrapped just because we have to go through the border. So in your bag, you can put wrapping supplies in there. And then when we get down there, we'll have someone wrap them up real quick. But definitely looking forward to that. If you are interested in joining on the Mexico trip on December 12th, you can sign up for that on the website or app. And you should be getting an email going out today with some more details and instructions of what that trip is going to look like and some different roles in there. Some people will be putting on a bit of a Christmas party for the kids, and others will be doing some manual labor, but you can kind of do whatever you want in there. But definitely looking forward to that. It's going to be great, and we will talk about in the email kind of driving and all of that and figure out all those details, but really looking forward to that. Let me see, other announcements. Oh, next week is actually going to be a fifth Sunday speaker of a church, ironically, that did their grand opening was supposed to be the week that everything was shut down for coronavirus in March. And so they have, in the very start, had to go online and go to a bit of a backyard church. But they're looking to come through this and then to relaunch after COVID. So we were really excited to have him next week and to be sponsoring that. It was Gospel City Church. What was his name? Nick? Eric? Nick Ranieri. He'll be here next week. And his team. Okay, great. And then we had one last. The last announcement is we've been trying to figure out community groups through COVID. And what we are kind of doing for this next little, we're going to do a little series in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, about 3 or 4 weeks. What we're doing is we are producing curriculum that we think would be good for a home family study. And we are going to publish that. And that can just be for you and your family. If, however, you say, hey, our next door neighbors, or another family in the church who we have brought in our circle, who we see every week or whatever, something like that, you can choose to invite them to your house and you guys can do that together. We're kind of letting you discern your level of comfortability and safety in that, but we're going to be producing this curriculum and you can do it just privately as a family, or like I said, if there's another household that you have inside your circle, you can choose to do that with them. But that'll be coming out in a few weeks, right after Thanksgiving. Lastly, I want to just get into today's worship reading, and it is perfect for this series and for this season that we're in. During this little two-part series we're in right now on Thanksgiving, on a heart of gratitude, I was trying to look at Psalms of Thanksgiving, and I found this one that is perfect for us. And if you are looking at the service notes, it's in Psalms 50, a couple verses in there, and it's going to be read from the New Living Translation. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of the bulls? Do I drink the blood of the goats? No is the rhetorical question there. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you and give you my glory. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Okay, now this is really relevant and significant for a couple reasons. One is you have to understand worship in the Hebrew culture was sacrifice. Now, they did have songs, but the idea of weekly corporate singing didn't happen. When people went to synagogue, it was fellowship, and it was reading the scriptures and discussing the scriptures. At holidays, sometimes there would be corporate worship, a corporate singing of a song. But worship in Hebrew culture was animal sacrifice. Now, this is important for two reasons. One is I love that God's saying, I don't actually eat these animals. I don't actually need these animals. What I care about more is your heart as you come into this. But secondly, I was just reflecting on this. This psalm was written at a time when they had the temple, but if you know Hebrew history, two separate times they lose their temple, once to Babylon, once to Rome. And in their tradition, the tabernacle was the only place for sacrifice to happen. It couldn't happen at a local synagogue. It was only there. So what I was thinking about is that two separate times, once for 70 years, and then once until now, about 1,000 years, the Hebrew people have lost their ability to worship through animal sacrifice. It was taken away from them. That their main source of weekly, seasonally worship was taken away from them. And that seems relevant to us today, is we are physically not allowed to sing corporate worship. And yet, in the same way, I imagine in those two seasons, the Hebrew people remembering the psalm and looking back and saying, yes, it's a shame we can't worship the way we usually worship, but remember the Psalms 50 where he says, look, I wasn't eating these animals to begin with. It is a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving that I value as greatest worship as it ends there. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. So I love this psalm and its relevance to us today. And just thinking about this is the government or coronavirus did not take away your ability to worship God, even corporately. Our choosing to gather, our the state of our heart as we gather, our ability to be thankful for who God is and for what we do have is worship that truly honors him. And soon enough, we will be back together singing, and that'll be wonderful. But remember, a heart of gratitude is worship that is truly honoring to God. Let me pray, and then we bring up Brian. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and everything you've given us. Lord, our heart of gratitude is what you truly desire. And yes, worship was sweet to your ears, but you don't need that for your ego. That's for us. We need worship. We need to be reminded of who you are, your greatness, your goodness, and how thankful we are in that life. So, Lord, in a time when we are not allowed to do corporate worship, I pray that we just develop that heart of gratitude, that heart of praise towards you. That is true worship. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Shep. Good morning. Morning. How are you? Do you guys like this situation for you right now? Where you're facing this way? Everybody okay? Okay. All right. I will try not to get distracted. But I wanted to welcome everybody here today. Thank you for coming today, and thank you for being able to celebrate today, especially as before we go into Thanksgiving weekend. And, you know, there's a lot of changes. So no doubt we're all experiencing a shift in. I've talked to many people about just how things are now changing, even for how they experience Thanksgiving as a family. But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. We talked about last week about being thankful, especially as we're going into this new season, and we're going to enter into the holidays, and we're going to, there's a kind of a always, I've always felt like a momentum of like kind of heartwarming times that bring families together. And like Chad had said, like, we are experiencing like a service that right now we're not able to sing. But the posture of the heart is what matters in praise. I can sing worship songs, but my heart posture can be very disconnected from what worship really is happening. We can do the lip service, but it's where our heart is at. And I think when we approach Thanksgiving, although we might not be able to experience it the same way in some cases, our heart posture and our gratitude for who God is and ultimately what we have around us determines, I think, sets the tone for thankfulness and how we live that out in this next season. You know, when I think about Thanksgiving, right, obviously, first thing we think about is this. We think about, right, the cooking. Just by show of hands, who here, like, starts preparation for Thanksgiving cooking, like, 6 a.m., and it's an all-day effort? Let's give them a hand clap. Keep your hand up really quick. So we want to know what houses to hit. Okay. Guy, do you do that? Good for you. All right. You know, it's the chaos around Thanksgiving usually. Like, I've got a million stories about Thanksgiving growing up with my family. Some good, some bad, right? But it's usually just a lot of just in and out movement, seeing family members you haven't seen in a year sometimes. The overeating, the little bit of comatose, like, feeling you get right around, I don't know when you have Thanksgiving, but about 4 o'clock, you're like, let's get a nap in, wake up, eat more, sleep early, right? And, you know, that, just the mentality of, like, this is a time to enjoy and experience. I remember often, I don't know if you had a grandma like this, my grandma at Thanksgiving regularly would tell us, because we would fill our plate like a buffet, right? And we're like, yeah, whatever, if we don't eat it. And she would be like, you need to eat all that. And she'd say the classic line of, there are starving children all around the world. Now eat that food. And it, in my head, I didn't get what she was saying. I thought, I don't know how this helps those kids. Like, should we make a donation? Like, should we, you know, send food? And in the mentality she was trying to instill in me, even in eating food, of appreciate what you have. Because what you're experiencing, others would give anything to have what you have. And so just these little rhythms of just the enjoyment and being able to, like, experience that as a family. I don't know about you, but growing up in Michigan, it was watching the Lions lose every single Thanksgiving, right? And so, but it's about the game. It's about the screaming, the shouting, the arguing, the napping. But at the end of the day, I don't know if your family does this. We do it at our house of, like, you know, let's talk about what we're thankful for. And it's a good moment. I mean, we have to refocus multiple times where it's like, you know, it can be like, well, I'm just thankful that I'm not like this sibling, right? So we don't want to be doing that. But, like, there is this thing about sitting down and actually reflecting. And then a lot of people walk away feeling like we need to do that more, appreciate and give gratitude for what we have. And so these are all things that are kind of shaping up around the tradition of Thanksgiving. I was reading this guy's post, and he was saying, my son had just suggested today that it would be smart to switch Thanksgiving and Christmas because then we would actually have something to be more thankful for. And I was like, okay, yeah, no. I like the concept, but it's even more than just even our circumstances around us that determine the posture of gratitude and thankfulness. It can't always be in reaction to positive things. Thanksgiving has to be more than that. But a lot of us, like, have experienced, you know, like, how we view Thanksgiving, maybe sometimes. Maybe for some of us, these guidelines are like a gift from God, like, oh, I don't have to see Uncle Jerry, right? Maybe it's that way. But I like that a lot of people will walk away with the mentality of Thanksgiving in kind of a jokey way of, like, there was a Friends episode, and they were going home for Thanksgiving, and they said this, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without a little emotional scarring, right? So a lot of us can have that mentality that's mixed all over the place with Thanksgiving, a lot of mixed feelings. But when we enter into this day, I really wanted to say that there's so much more about this day. We've experienced this national holiday for so long that's kind of been shaped and turned and movies are done around this holiday. There's, decorations around this holiday. There's a lot of different versions of this holiday. But I wanted to maybe start from the beginning of the holiday to maybe bring us to what we can this year. And I want to encourage everybody to do this holiday, because a lot of people have the idea of, like, I'm going to list a few things that I'm really grateful for, but I want to shift us in a different direction and actually to where its origins were and what they were thankful for. And then ultimately when it was brought into what we celebrate now is a national holiday and what the reason stated for what we should celebrate. And, you know, and the famous one is the pilgrims, right, at Plymouth. They had their Thanksgiving feast, and by the time they had it to celebrate their harvest, they had lost 50% of their family and community at this time. And so they're coming through a hardship. They're in the midst of loss, but they're going to celebrate what they actually have. But the whole celebration in the midst of this difficult time was an impromptu, their very first impromptu religious observance. It was just, thank you, Lord, for what we have now, and thank you, Lord, for who you are. It was just beginning from the very first step of thank you, not for the food, thank you for you, God, and for who you are. There has been a lot of change, and then with Thanksgiving, celebrated at different times in different ways. But really, we saw the change when it came around mid-Civil War. And this, I wanted to read a statement from ultimately a presidential proclamation from Abraham Lincoln. He had started, you know, writing multiple, like, kind of articles about Thanksgiving and about bringing it about as a national holiday to celebrate. But it was partially a strategic decision by Abraham Lincoln to bring Thanksgiving as a national holiday in the midst of a country torn apart, literally brother against brother, family against family, depending on where you landed. And to implement this, this is what he said in his proclamation towards the bottom of it. And this is what he said. It has seemed fit to, it seems to me fit and proper that we should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledge as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. He's using this language that one day this will be over and we'll be a whole of a people. And we have to have gratitude and invitation to the other in that day, and hopefully even now. He says, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning foreign lands, and set apart to observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise. Now, here's why he said we should set it aside. Thanksgiving and praise to the beneficent Father and who dwelleth in the heavens. I haven't read King James in a while. Who dwelleth in the heavens. And the mentality was to give honor and praise ultimately first foremost and thanks and gratitude to the Creator. And then from this honoring the Creator, being able to then live and eat with and be grateful for the creation around us, our fellow brothers and sisters. I read those two because the concept of Thanksgiving, both of these two, very significant, were in really tough times. One was a very divided time, and the other was in a time post-tragedy, but ultimately going, we want to thank you, God, for even having life. We want to thank you, God, for any little thing we see, we thank you for it. And so I think when we think about thankfulness, it is so much more than just the tradition. And so I feel like, man, I wanted to end this little mini series and put us into the mentality for Thanksgiving with this idea. So we're in our series, Thankfulness, and this is just this two-part series that affects, it's the grounding effects of thankfulness in our life. It is so easy to just look for the things to be angry about, look for the things to be upset about. And man, oh man, it's just like this. You can, if you've ever gotten 100 compliments, but one negative response pulls your entire energy that way. And you have to fight that off. And it doesn't matter how strong you are, if you engage it, it will just fester and it'll pull you that way. But thankfulness, gratitude gives a grounding perspective just on life. And so you can kind of shut out all the noise and then focus on what is important in any circumstance. So this title of this message is Thankfulness Part 2. And here's all I'm going to be going at today: building an attitude of thanksgiving from the inside out. Now, I say that from the inside out on purpose, because a lot of times gratitude, thankfulness is ultimately a outside in thing. But in the Christian perspective, in the Christian calling to thankfulness and gratitude, and even what we see from the origins of Thanksgiving and then ultimately establishing as a holiday, it's actually from the inside out. So when we have a gratitude and an inward reverence, like Chad was saying, this posture of gratitude towards our Father, our Heavenly Father, it comes from the inside and flows out in everything, hopefully, that we touch in life. But yes, we all have like I don't know if you're a pie charter, a lister, but we can list the things that if you look at it like a pie chart. We have our kids, we have our families, we have our health, we have our jobs, we have our, our education, we have our, even where we live, we have all these things in the pie chart that we could go, man, I really am grateful for all of these things. But what the challenge that my job is and our job is to remind ourselves that at the very center of all of that, that feeds all of that, but gets perspective for all of these things, no matter how that pie chart looks, good, bad, ugly, it comes from our spiritual life. That fuels and informs our attitude and perspective towards gratitude, but it comes from the inside out, and it changes the way we view all of those things. Our key passage is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's the hardest passage in Scripture sometimes. I find it difficult. And it's the challenge is this, is give thanks in all circumstances. Meaning in all circumstances, meaning the whole of your life, give thanks. I lost my dad a few years back. And it was a hard thing to be thinking to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I did at his funeral when I was able to speak and share about what he was to me and so many of us that were impacted who were at the funeral. But it was a moment to then just go right to the gratitude of who he was in the midst of a tragedy. But I think a lot of us sometimes we can get distracted and go, how can I give thanks in this circumstance? It's heavy. It's weighty. I'm having a difficult time. And that passage can be frustrating. But I think it's a challenge, and it's coming from someone, Paul, who wrote it, who was currently facing a challenge when he wrote it. His entire ministry was a challenge, but he was writing to a people that he wanted to set the record straight with. And so Paul wrote this letter in his second journey. He wrote it actually from Corinth, another church in another city. And his reason for writing it was because the church had experienced some unexpected deaths. They had experienced a lot of persecution, and he had gotten word that the church was extraordinarily frustrated and down. And when Paul writes this, he's saying, listen, in all circumstances, like, give thanks. And ultimately, the end of that passage is, because for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Because he's telling people who are in a kind of a depression, saying, you know what, no matter what comes your way, gratitude will be a beacon for you. Gratitude will lead you out. Gratitude will give you perspective. Thankfulness will point the way, because hard times will come. I was looking at this 2 Corinthians 4, and this is going to be a passage I'm just going to teach out of. I'm going to go step by step. We're just going to go through the passage. I'm going to stop for a second, because when we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I'm going to talk about a gratitude that starts from the inside and if affects our outside living, there's no better passage than 2 Corinthians 4, and it'll begin in verse 7 if you want to open up to it. But it's a reminder of the Christian's, I would say, greatest attitude of thankfulness. It starts here. We have to ground ourselves here. We have to make sure that we are in tune and in touch with what we actually possess internally that will ultimately, I think, open our eyes to what's around us in all the pie chart areas of our life. But Paul writes this letter in response to a criticism that's happening within the church. So check out this criticism. It's weird to us to think of it this way, but he's getting criticized for the suffering he's experiencing, and his critics are saying, one of the criticisms that he's addressing is that his suffering shows that he's not actually of a resurrected Christ, because it's not victorious. He's not living this victorious life. He's suffering too much. Now, I think we can relate to this a little bit. When I've heard people say, in a way of like, if they're going through a lot, they're going, man, like, if I'm a Christian, I should be victorious. Why is life so difficult? Why am I struggling and suffering when I have Christ in my life? Life should be good. Everything should be working out. It's basically like I've hit the lottery of life. And this is a little bit of this mentality that they're seeing. How can a victoriously risen Christ be in your life? How can you be an apostle of that Christ when you're suffering so much? And so Paul writes this in response to reground his people and letting them know that actually that by serving this victorious Christ, no matter what happens around you, you are victorious. And so I want to read this part right here, and then we'll kind of get into it. But this first thought, if you can get around your head, what he's writing here is a thankfulness for the spiritual treasure. So how he starts to build an attitude of gratitude for a gratitude of, I think, the spiritual core that informs our life is he starts right here. You gotta know what you actually have. If you know what you have, you'll value it so much more. It's like finding an antique in your home that you never really appreciated. You just watch it there. You thought it was junk. You get it valued and you're like, you know, it's like your Gollum and it's your precious. And it's like, you know, like you tell everybody about it now and you show everybody because you found out its worth. And Paul is reminding them that in order to have this attitude of gratitude, you got to understand the worth of it. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure. And in that day, I'm sure none of the people listening ever even saw an actual treasure. So he's saying this thing that everyone would love to find, you actually possess it in jars of clay, meaning your body. You contain this amazing gift from, I mean, God himself in you, deposited in this weak, frail body, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us, meaning this, that just the fact that you, this person who's experienced a life and its circumstances, its frailty and everything around it, you have this treasure that is, it cannot be measured. And so first and foremost, be grateful for that, that God's given you something you couldn't earn, you couldn't buy, you couldn't be good enough for, but it's beyond all comprehension and actually rests inside this jar of clay. It's like a kid, you know, when they get their new toy, if you remember this, and you were the first one to have it, or your first new shoes, and you wanted to show everybody because they don't have it and you have it. It's this special thing. Or an adult, like, I mean, I remember when the TV craze was, you know, starting to kind of pick up. Do you remember, like, when you go into someone's house, let me show you the 42-inch plasma screen that I paid $10,000 for, and you're like, oh my God. If you're not old enough, but I remember this, like, wow, it's amazing. Or the new iPhone when you got it. You were so proud of it. It was a prized possession. It's a lot like that. But I think Christians, in a way, probably forget the treasure that's been given inside them. So thankful for their spiritual treasure. Then Paul takes them to the next phase. And it's a thankfulness for the strength in any hardship. You have this treasure that you need to understand its value. But be thankful that you have strength from this treasure in any hardship. And I think a lot of this might be relevant for us today, especially passage 8. We are afflicted in every way, he says, but we're not crushed, right? But we're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And he's stating this, saying that suffering will come your way, but there's something that you can put your hope in, is that there's strength beyond all hardships that you have to anchor into, or you'll lose the perspective, right? Like these people were starting to question in the church. But I think Christian life in action will need this encouragement. If you're living a Christian life of action, you will experience hardship. You will experience somebody saying, you know, you're kind of weird, your thing's weird, your God's weird, I don't know. Or you might experience even a hardship of, like, acting out of kindness and generosity, being taken advantage of. That happens a lot in Christianity. You might experience, like, hardships in ways of even relatives and you know, a distance and a disconnect. That might be a hardship you might experience. You might experience that very thought of, like, why is it hard for me right now when I'm supposed to live a victorious life? You're going to experience, the more active you are living out your faith, the more hardships you will face. It's a promise of your faith. So you have to just know that. But I tell you what, Paul says there's something so great inside of you that can drive you past all of these hardships. I watched this movie called, like, Hacksaw Ridge, if you remember. It's a war movie. But it's about this guy who's deeply committed to his faith, wouldn't carry a weapon, didn't want to engage in the war in that way, but would be there as a support to his team. And the movie basically ends up, and there's this great line he says. And I was, like, really emotionally affected by it, when he just had this mantra as all of his guys are wounded and he's trying to rescue each one and bring them to safety, that he'd say, like, God, just give me the strength to get one more. And it was just this, like, inspirational thought of, like, wow, yeah, like, God, I need you right now to help me have the strength to get one more. And I would say, although you're not rescuing people, but there is that strength to go, God, just let me have one more step. Let me just take one more, like, movement through this hardship. God, just let me have another day to get through this difficulty. I mean, Paul is saying, listen, you have the strength inside of you in any hardship. So be thankful for that, that you're not lost. It's not all lost if you're in a hard time. And we should be constantly grateful for that. And also encourage someone else the same truth. Another thing, he then moves into this next phase, being thankful for the resurrection life within me. And I think it's kind of weird to think about this, but the very power that resurrected Christ on Easter Sunday, that morning, is the very power that God says, I have deposited in you. That same strength. Because we celebrate Easter and go, like, wow, I can't imagine that day of Jesus being resurrected. And we kind of think of it almost like so separated from it. Paul says that very same thing
That very same strength, that very same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, meaning the hardships of life, always carrying the frailty of humanity so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies, a connection to the very suffering and strugglings of Christ. But then verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Christ, for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, this mortal body that's changing or going through life or struggles or may face persecution, but life in you, he says. So he's trying to reground everyone to what they actually have and possess. And it only to me, as I read through this passage, brings gratitude to God of even in all circumstances. I can get it where he says, in all circumstances, give thanks, because it grounds me to the fact of like, man, like there's a hope inside of me that even though life struggles, aging is all happening, like, there's a life inside of me that is the very, very life of Christ in my life. And that is worth celebrating and praising God. The next thing he moves into is this, is, so I'm going to talk to you about your treasure. I'm going to talk to you about your hardships, that there's strength in that, being thankful. I'm going to talk to you about being thankful about this resurrection inside of you. But then also I want to talk to you about being a thankful to be an ambassador. Listen, when you... You guys know this. When you are excited about something, you become an ambassador for whatever you're excited about. Do you not? I can't tell you, like Chad, I'm just going to point it out. Chad, in the last 3 days, has told me about a show I'm going to watch, and he told me to watch it, and like with such passion. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll definitely watch it. And he knows I'm interested in this, in this documentary. And so, for me, like when we're passionate about something, when we care about something, you become an evangelist for that thing. And when it comes to the gospel or this treasure that's inside of you, part of the way you give thanks is to be thankful to, that you actually can be an ambassador to this good news and this truth. He says this, since we have the same spirit according to what has been written, quoting a psalm, I believe and so I speak. Now, I love this phrase. I believe, so therefore, I share of what I believe. I speak of what I believe. He says, we as a community also believe, so we also speak. It's just hand in hand. So we as a people believe something, so we cannot not share it. We have to share it. It says this, knowing that he who raised Jesus, Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake. Now listen to this last thing. So that grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to glory, to the glory of God. I think this is probably out of all of the things I'm going to share, this is probably one that I think we kind of can maybe step away from a little bit and go, we can look at being an ambassador sometimes as a task, as like, like it's just weird to like talk about this to people. But what he's saying is a mentality that's so different. He says, if you believe you have this treasure, if you believe that it's sustaining in all circumstances, and if you believe that the very resurrection itself lives inside of you, then we, as we believe, we also speak as a people. And I don't mean like going out here on maybe the corner and you have a sign and you're just randoms all over and just shouting and that, I don't down anybody for doing that. But I'm talking about the availability and willingness to share the treasure that you have inside, the gift that you've been giving. And part of gratitude is expressing your words about it to others so that more and more people can experience that giving thanks to to God and glorifying God. Man, I've had many opportunities with people who've, you know, especially when I was a first a believer and people would ask me about my beliefs, and I just didn't know what to say. I felt weird. I was just like, I don't really know what to tell you, and I don't want to like lead you down a path you shouldn't go. But for us, the reminder is that to be thankful that we actually get to be ambassadors. We're called into something. We're invited into something. That's something worth celebrating, that we get to share the good news, and whether it be through your actions or your words, or it may be a combination of both, you get to share this treasure that's inside of you, and from the inside, it will be expressed. Two more quick things he goes into. And the next part is he's talking about the thankfulness for a future promise, this gratitude that not only you get to be ambassador, but even when this life is over and it's all done, and whenever that day is, there's a future promise, a future hope, something beyond this place, he says, that we can be thankful for. He says, so do not lose heart. Though your outer self is wasting away, the inner self is being renewed day by day. How many people, like, as you got older, you started quoting this verse, and you're like, oh, man, I'm wasting away. I can see my body is getting older. I see some of you nodding. And so, and I, it's kind of funny, like, there is, if you were to completely rely on how you feel physically, like in your trust and completely in that, it would slowly decrease your trust in it. But he's saying that there's something bigger that's renewed day by day by day that gives you this passion and this zeal and something that's greater than your physical body and how you feel. He's saying, man, even though you're wasting away, your inner self is being renewed day by day. What he's ultimately saying is, this is changing, you know? But this is eternal. You know, like these cells are changing and shedding, and my DNA is changing, and it's getting like, you know, my cell reproduction is getting slower and slower. But this is always going to remain the same, renewed day by day. And he says this in verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. And I want to maybe just encourage you in that. I'm not really a big fan of like, I can't wait till this life is over so I can get to heaven, right? I'm not, I would never teach that. I would never encourage you to be like, God, just take me now and in a hard time. And I have, you know, experienced believers who are like, I wish God would just take me, and or the rapture, however they view it, would happen now. So, because right now, like, you know, my bills are due and I'd like to go. And I'm like, no. But to be honest with you, Paul understood this, because Paul even had himself a struggle. He was saying, I know how good the future promise is. I know what you're promising me. And Paul said, I'm in conflict because I also know that you've called me to complete the work you called me to. And it was weird to hear him have this type of dialogue that he's wrestling with. I would like to just go to eternal glory because it is promised to be so well, but I have a task and I have a mission, and it will be hard as I act out my faith publicly, and as I walk out these principles that I believe, that I will face challenges. It can be difficult, but there's a glory beyond all comprehension, and that's something you should be grateful for. Yeah, I had this weird feeling once my dad had passed, and I had this like strange thing that like he was no longer with us, but he was present with the Lord, like the Bible has said. And there's all kinds of views and thoughts about what happens when we die, and different ideas, and even within our own Christian faith. But what I will say this is that I felt comforted knowing that my dad is where he always dreamed and desired to be when it did happen. And I've feel comforted that I will one day see him as well. And I don't say this as like nice words to make myself feel better. I say it as like there's a hope in that that I can be thankful and grateful for to God. Not that I'm afraid that life will end, but more that God's promised me something I didn't deserve, but he's made for us for his glory. And that's a hope that we can have and thank God for in this season. And he finishes with this. And I'll finish with this. So he talks about this future promise, but he says, we want to talk about, he wants to encourage people to be thankful for a heavenly perspective. And that's ultimately probably what we could most kind of walk away with a little bit today is like, how has heaven shift your perspective? Is it informing your perspective? Is it shaping the way that you are viewing life even right now? And he says this, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they're transient, meaning that they will come and go and pass. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And he's giving us this total perspective shift to just remember, the things that are unseen are eternal. And you can celebrate and hope in that versus getting caught up in this. Because this will always keep happening. But it's transient. It will pass. And he's encouraging the people about people who are suffering and watching him suffer, saying, this will pass. It is not going to deter me from the eternal truth that I have and possess. It will not steal my joy. It will not take away my love for God. It will not take away my love for people. It will not crush me. I may be struck down, but it didn't count me out. I'm not down for good. And so that perspective from switching from, wow, if I just get focused here all the time, I might lose the heavenly perspective, which is there's hope even in the midst of a difficult place. I don't ever advocate for ignoring your circumstances around you. I think we should absorb them, experience them, emotionally experience it. But when we put the lion's share of stock, ultimately at the end of the day, it's holding this and holding eternal perspective at the same time and putting our hope and trust in that in all times. That is what you can be thankful for in this season. So my final encouragement to you would be this. As you're sitting around and you're experiencing this kind of overwhelming cultural expectation of Thanksgiving in all the pie chart areas I talked about, I would like you to revisit just for a moment on that day or the days leading up between you and God and placing him in the center of that pie chart that informs the rest of the areas of your life that you can be thankful for, but that it is the thing we are most thankful for that ultimately Paul is saying, I want to invite you into that because that will not be circumstantial. It will not be affected by anything like that. That is eternal. And so as a church, as you as individuals, I just want to invite you into that this season. It's easy to get it caught up in the pie chart, but I want to bring you right to the center. And at that center, I think you'll find something amazing that happens. And it's that you'll experience gratitude towards God, and it will inform how you see the rest of the pie chart. So let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much. Thank you that we can be here and gather. And God, we just pray for all those around us. And some of us right now, God, we can't connect with our relatives, me being one of them. And God, I ask you, be with those who are our loved ones. And if it's for protection or safety or even just distance, God, I ask that you just continually warm our hearts in the community of our family and even the community around us, God, even though we may not be able to be connected. And as each one of us are entering into this practice of Thanksgiving, God, that we're regularly reminded of the greatest gratitude a believer can have, and that is the treasure that lives inside of each and every believer in this jar of clay, but only possible through your power, your work, and we give glory to you. God, help that perspective, heavenly perspective, inform how we see the rest of our life. And God, maybe some of us might see things a little different, might be more encouraged, might be able to get refocused on what is around us and positive and really things that we should gravitate to be thankful for versus staying in lanes that distract us from the true things we should be grateful for. And so we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thanks for joining us this morning. And feel free just to, you know, chat with each other, hang out with each other. And we hope that you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And I have to say it before you go. We're so grateful for this church. Chad and I, our whole staff, my family, Chad's family, we are so grateful for you guys. I probably don't say that enough, but I just need to remind you that, you know, even now when it's not easy to meet, it's a little uncomfortable, you know, you guys and anyone listening or anyone who's even not here, this church has informed and shaped our lives so much, us as pastors. And we hope that you as a community experience what we have. And so I have to tell you, we love you. We thank you. We hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving and that God really kind of blesses your heart and I would say grows what you believe and shows you more and more about who he is in all circumstances, all times. Guys, thank you. God bless you. Have a good day.